Welcome to Outrun the Bear, a video game.
What kind of podcast is it?
It's a Vegas and a Vegas.
Don't be shy about your hobbies. Be proud.
It's a video game.
It's a video podcast. What kind of podcast you guys do? Video games.
Welcome to Outrun the Bear, a video game podcast where your hosts, me, Jacob, and you,
Adam,
talk about video games. You guessed it.
I feel very put on the spot every time you do that.
I know. It's like you don't know what's coming.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here we are.
Here we are. What a glorious April it is. I did just see some pictures of some people with some, and I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly. I'm certain of it. I would appreciate some training on how to say it correctly. I'm going to say cherry blossoms, okay. Also known as sakura leaves.
I'm not going to help you on that.
I've got a bunch of those trees outside of my house, but they're all kind of like done. Like the whole like amazingness of them for like two weeks was like, it's through, and people come around, they're taking pictures with their dogs and like next to the trees and stuff. Mm-hmm. I almost did the same thing one day because I was standing there and I saw like, it was almost like it was like Ghost of Tsushima, where another controversial take on pronunciation. I was just standing there just staring at this tree, and
yeah,
and like the petals were like falling off just like randomly. And because there's like a million of them, like it can shed them and you never even notice. And like, I was like, oh yeah, this is just because like in Ghost of Tsushima, it's like that. Like they're just, these leaves are just like flowing through the air all the time. And it's just a good time, you know?
There's lots around this area as well. The nice thing is that I have none like close enough to me.
That's because the nice
thing I don't like about it.
The leaves.
Yeah, because
you don't like the leaves.
I like looking at them.
You don't want to leave.
And I think they're beautiful, yeah. But I don't want them anywhere near my place because the mess that they make.
Right. You're not willing to put in the work for the beauty. I get it.
I already have an incredible amount of cedar mm-hmm. that I have to clean up. Mm-hmm.
What if you swap? What if you swap that for cherry blossoms? Wouldn't it be the same?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know either. I feel like the cherry blossoms
are only
there'd
be a lot less cherry blossoms.
Like just a couple of weeks.
This is true.
Yeah. And think of all the pictures.
I don't know. Yeah, but the thing with the cedars is they provide a lot of shade. So
yeah, the cherry blossoms probably don't. Also, I mean, I guess the people that I know, your Instagram clout is probably not a, like really high on your priority list.
Correct.
So
correct.
So like, I don't know how many pictures you could possibly take of these, to be honest with you, because I would imagine
this is very
true. The ones that are near me are littered throughout the Instagrams on the internet, but
yeah. Ooh, yeah, I don't know that where I live that's true.
Okay,
there's lots.
Yeah, I did see, actually I did see them when I was out in your neighborhood the other day. I was noticing them.
I mean, I gotta assume it is, but I don't know the demographic of Instagrammers.
I feel like they look at like they're all shapes and sizes, those Instagrammers. I saw like tall ones and short ones and fat ones and skinny ones. I saw dogs.
Yeah.
I don't think the dogs are Instagrammers. Dogs. But you never know.
I hear they have their own accounts.
I mean, I have seen this.
And yeah,
Yeah.
So this is a podcast about video games.
Not cherry blossoms.
And Instagram. And cherry blossoms.
Listen, nothing wrong with some cherry blossoms. I have a little cherry blossom Lego tree next to me on my desk here, and I look at it all the time. And actually,
that would be fine.
I'll just have you know, it actually comes with two sets of leaves. It comes with green leaves and comes with pink leaves. And so, you know, you're supposed to swap it out.
But that's your choice.
It's my choice.
Mother Nature's
it's
choice.
It's not Mother Nature's choice. But also,
you get to choose.
Ask me how many times mm-hmm. I've swapped it out.
I mean, I don't have to. I know you've done it zero times.
It stayed pink
because
the entire time.
Because of course you haven't. You would.
But now that I'm talking to you about it, I kind of want to put the green ones on. Also, fun fact.
Really?
Fun fact. And you probably wouldn't notice this unless you either bought the set or looked at it very closely. almost all the leaves are frogs. They're like these
frogs.
Yeah, they're little Lego frogs, and there's like 100 of them. And there's like leaf parts, but there's also these frogs that sit on the ends to make just look like a leaf. But from a distance, it looks great, and from up close, you're like, yeah, that's a frog.
Interesting.
The more you know.
The more I know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like we could just sign off this podcast at this point.
Listen, don't try to usher us out right away. I would like to talk about some video games in addition to our primary focus of Sakura leaves and pronunciations of Japanese words.
Of course. I am concerned, looking at our notes, that this might be a Jacob episode.
It's. I mean, there's a reason I'm talking about leaves for so long, Jacob. I don't have a lot of other things to talk about. Yeah. I mean, I've been playing Satisfactory with Jacob. We're going to talk about that. I've been playing a lot of Balatro. I'm going to talk about that. And I've been doing a lot of racing, which I don't think we really need to talk about, but I've gotten the bug back into iRacing again. You, on the other hand, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I feel like we switched roles from the other week. You have gone ham, is I think the words that I would use. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I, at the risk of, I don't know. Couldn't even tell you.
There's no risks in this. In this podcast.
Okay. Well then, I think you should just go first.
All right, let's do this. I there's a few games in here that you're going to be able to jump in and comment on anyways, because
Control, I've played it. It's great. Good stuff. Thumbs up. Moving on. Sorry, go ahead. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
I mean, I am continuing to play Control. We haven't played a lot of it over the last few weeks because of everything else that's been going on. But trying to wrap up the Alan Wake DLC on that one. In preparation for
Alan Wake
Senua's
DLC?
Sacrifice.
Oh.
No, Senua's Sacrifice is coming out in May, and that is a game, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, the second one. It's coming out in May. That's a game, the first one that my wife and I played together, and so we want to wrap up Control because we want to get ready to play that game coming out in May. Looking forward to it.
Sorry.
Yeah?
I realize you. Yeah. The DLC for Alan Wake comes out when?
I don't think we have a date yet.
We don't have a date yet. Okay.
Mm-mm. No, unless the news has changed recently. I don't think we have a...
If it's anything like the Control DLC, they're suggesting Night Springs will be March to May and that the Lake House would be August, October. But
I
suspect...
I think we would have heard it.
I agree.
If it was March to May.
I don't think that's true. I think...
Well, obviously, if it was March or April, we would have heard about it now. But
probably.
I think this
probably
is a...
March for sure. Yeah.
I think this is a mid to late summer release. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
At this point.
I completely forgot about
that.
Yeah,
no, I have not seen anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Alan Wake DLC, we'll see when that gets released. I don't know when that falls in, but I also have Jedi Survivor that I'm kind of banking on coming out at the end of this month, at the end of April,
right.
I'm thinking.
Right.
Fingers crossed that that's going to end up being a game, but I don't know how that's going to play into my gaming, because that is a game that I'd like to play with the kids. But Dragon Quest 11 continues. Everyone's enjoying it. The kids continually ask, you know, to continue that story, to keep going with it. So that's really great. Really enjoying that. I'm like a little past 20 hours in. I think I've collected kind of all the followers you get in the game.
Great.
And it's really opening up. It's a lot of fun.
How long is this game? Do we know?
I don't. Okay. I couldn't tell you. I could kind of talk in
You could talk
this
slowly
manner.
And while you type into the internet.
Exactly. Yeah. Like as I'm typing.
And then you'd say, well, approximately 80 to 90 hours for, you know, a little more than, you know, baseline, but not quite 100%.
Yeah, it's 89 for main and extra.
Oh, I'm pretty close.
Yeah. I think that's probably right?
That feels like, I mean, it's a safe guess for most JRPGs, frankly. That seems like...
I think so. The spread is pretty far, though, because it's like 57 for main story, 89 for main and extra, and 130 for completionist. But I don't really know what completionist would be in this game.
I blew away Persona's targets. Persona 5 with... I'd say I was in that, not the 100% category, but like close to most things. And yep. I was like way over. Like I spent way, I just a slow reader, I guess, or something.
But what I don't, yeah, I don't know. What I don't know about this is sometimes completionists gets into achievements and replays and things like that.
Yeah,
that don't
does.
Really.
Yeah.
So it's unclear. I don't know enough about this game to know what that completionist is about, but I guess we'll see.
Fair.
But it's still good. Yeah, I'm glad my kids are still engaged in it because I'm enjoying playing it and that they like to.
Well, this your like experience there makes me feel like, and I can't wait for it to come out. And actually, I realize I've been very like Princess Peach game came out, I think, and I didn't even know the day that it came out, and I was like, what is happening? And of course, I'm interested in playing it at some point, but I literally haven't finished the other Mario Wonder game.
Oh, yeah, Wonder, yeah.
And I still need to do that. And so what I was going to say, though, is what's the Paper Mario? Paper Mario was an amazing experience where my kid was super interested in just playing with me. And, like, I did most of the playing. And he gave me lots of advice, and we talked through it. That's what I feel like you're getting with Dragon's Quest. And I'm very envious because I want to do that more of that because that is very enjoyable. So the next Paper Mario, which I think is coming out soon-ish. Do we have a date for that one?
Could you talk slowly? It's actually listed.
Type into the internet?
I think it's actually.
Sorry.
I think it actually is listed as soonish.
No.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For real? Thousand year door. Is that it?
Thousand year door.
Yeah, it comes out.
This is kind of like up to the minute researching that you can expect.
I really appreciate
in this podcast.
It. Yeah, I mean, how else could I talk slowly? It comes out May 23rd.
Oh, I just got there.
You know what?
I can't believe it took me so long.
That's going to be an amazing end of May. That's what that's going to be.
That's 2 days after Hellblade: Senua's with Sacrifice game comes out. Meh. So I think the problem with the first parties, I do want to get Peach and I do want to get Paper Mario, but I also want to get Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, I don't have that either.
I just like,
although I do have a bead to borrow that one, and I might just do that because I don't.
Yeah, I haven't gotten.
So my brother-in-law picked it up and said it was pretty, like, he liked it, but he said, like, it's pretty dumbed down. Like, it's not, and I don't know if he's just being critical because he doesn't, like, love, he loves JRPGs, so, like, he should love this game.
Yeah, but does he like Paper Mario?
I don't know, actually. But I...
Because Super Mario RPG is kind of, like, the... child,
right?
I'd say,
right,
of
the child,
grandparent.
I
guess it would be grandparent.
It would be grandparent. Yeah, you went a weird direction with that.
I went the wrong. Yeah. I went like a Benjamin Button.
You did. That's what you were doing. That's what you're doing.
That's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to. I don't want to get too much into that.
I think we should.
I started questioning even that.
It's supposed to get a little weird.
Yeah.
Agatha Christie. I heard you've been playing that game. How's that game going for you?
Quick transition. I completed it.
Insert
I completed the
applause.
Hercule Poirot, the first click cases.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to continuing the series, not the series, but the other kind of Agatha Christie games that they're coming out with. There's a couple of them, and I got it wrong last time, but there's another one before the Orient Express, and I can't think of the name right now.
Is it
but anyways,
a boat one?
I don't think so.
All right.
Maybe. You know what? I have no idea.
I know.
No,
I
can London cases.
I can tell you
London
don't think
cases.
So. The look on your face was like, no, you are totally wrong.
It's called the London cases.
I've heard it's called the London
cases. Yeah, you heard it just now.
Just now. Yeah.
The game was good. I mean, I talked about it last time. Pretty much what you would expect. It's very much a, you know, it is kind of point and click adventure-y, but it is kind of just following that story because like I said, the in the last episode, the puzzles or the mind map, the connections, right? And then just finding stuff in there. It's not like your traditional point and click of like having an inventory. It's all about around the mind map, but it's really just following this kind of mystery and solving it as a Poirot. And I really enjoyed it.
Great.
Yep. Glad I got through it. I've hit pause on We Happy Few. I really like the themes and the story, but I just don't think I'm feeling the action and stealth enough. Like that gameplay is just, I don't know. It's not connecting with me. And so it's feeling a little chore-ish to do that part, to continue the side stories and the story in itself. And I might try to come back to it a little bit, but there's all these other things that are distracting me now that I'm really enjoying. So it's kind of one of those things of like, I've got Adam in my head being like, well, are you enjoying it? Maybe you shouldn't be playing if you're not enjoying it. You know,
Jacob,
that
Jacob,
voice you use
Jacob,
when you do that.
Jacob.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you know right now. I've already thought about saying that during this podcast and thinking about coaching you to like maybe let it go.
Yeah.
But I opted not to. But I appreciate that, you know, what would, you know, WWAD is sitting there on your desk.
And you're all the time.
Right? Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. I have a little plaque that I put out.
I thought it was,
so it's like,
you know,
before
I
click start of
a
game.
Last time I was over and there was like a little piece of wood that was folded down, like, cause you were maybe a little shy to share it. I know what it is.
Yeah. I didn't want you to see it.
That's right.
At the time. Yeah. Leave the reveal for this podcast episode.
Wow. I'm flattered.
Yeah. Yes, but this is it. I was like, that was the thing. There was other things and I wasn't feeling it enough to continue it. So we'll see. It's parked. A little to the left. I've talked about last time. I'm really enjoying it. I pretty much finished it. There's like one like puzzle that I am waiting to finish. But what I discovered is there's like this little daily task thing as part of it.
Okay.
That I kind of like. It's just like a one-off thing that I would do. Like I just start the game and do a daily task and it's different every day. And it's just a simple organization puzzle and just kind of feels satisfying to kind of get a different style of organization. You do the puzzle and you're done.
I had to look it up, but yeah, this is the bento box game, right?
Bento box.
Yeah, you know what a bento box is?
I do know what a bento box is.
I
don't know that I would refer to this as a bento box
you
game.
Okay. I guess the screenshots I've seen look like a bento box and like you're trying to fit everything into it. No?
I don't think there's a single bento box in this game. All the theming around... I don't know. But everything is about organization. So it's like five colored pencils, as you know, as simple as that. It's a set of rocks. It's a drawer full of cutlery.
You know one drawer picture that I saw, and you did explain this in the last podcast. So I'm good. And I show that I have my little purple link.
It's just it's kind of a neat thing that they continue the game. Like they do this daily task thing so you can kind of keep it going. And it's super lightweight and very fun.
I bet you that game is a mobile game. And I say that because it seems like a mobile game, the kind of game that it is. But also, they're like infamous for doing that to try and keep retention.
Mm-hmm.
So
could be.
Yeah, it is. It is most definitely a mobile game. Curiously,
I don't know. I mean,
no,
maybe.
I mean, I'm looking at it. It is.
It is a mobile game as well.
Yeah, it's out on iOS, anyways. Whether it's exactly the same game, I don't know. But
yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. It is on. Oh no, that is not the game. Whoops.
Yeah, there was a bunch.
That's funny. I went to a little to the left, and I clicked on. I was like, oh yeah, it is on Android, and then it went to a game called Life Sort Organizer Puzzle, which is
not that game. Yeah,
not that game.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've seen did we talk about this last week? Like I'm seeing Grocery Store Simulator. Like there's just so many like mundane life things that people are like, I want to go home and like really just work at a grocery store. Like,
yeah.
And I sound like I'm making fun of it, but I actually like totally understand it.
Yeah. I mean, a little to the left is to me, it's like a version of unpacking,
mm-hmm.
but really just about sorting. It's really sorting things in a way that you would never sort in real life necessarily.
Yeah.
Right. But like in a way that you can just feel satisfied about the way that you've arranged objects. Again, it's just like it is a puzzle because you're trying to solve like how you're supposed to do it.
It's a beautiful thing. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Spend a few minutes there and then move on. Okay. Should we? You know what? I'm gonna skip ahead. I know we're both looking at my notes. I'm gonna skip ahead to the ones that I've played, and then we're gonna loop back around to the ones that we both have played.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I like it.
So I started Open Roads. This was a game that came out on Game Pass. It's on multiple platforms. It's a interactive kind of narrative game, akin to ones that I played in the past, like Lake, which was that postal worker game. This one is about a mother and daughter who are kind of packing up their grandmother/mother's home after she's passed away because they had an estate sale. And it's all about kind of discovering about the you play as the daughter, and you're basically discovering stuff about your grandmother. And so then it kind of stems into this whole like going on a road trip to discover the past, and there's a bit of mystery and things there. So I'm pretty early on in the game. I only really just started the road trip itself, but it's got like these hand animated characters, pretty interestingly, like for the dialogue parts. You'll have to kind of look it up to see what I mean, because everything else is just kind of a 3D first person environment that you're like moving around, but when you're doing the dialogue, it's like these almost like classic simple 90s cartoon, or maybe even earlier cartoon, kind of hand-painted drawings.
Yeah,
of the characters.
It reminds me a bit of like a high quality like 80s animated show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Yeah, exactly.
But it, like, not the less, like, I'm thinking shows like Hercules or other ones that are just kind of really rough, but this one looks really nice and clean. Looks good.
Yeah,
is it rotoscoped? Yeah. Or is it animated?
It's not animated.
Okay.
It, like, very like block animation.
Got it. Okay.
Little,
like, just fades into the next
a few frames.
Yeah, sounds good.
So it's good. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I always gravitate, as you know, to these narrative games, and always like, that was the thing about picking up the Poirot game too. I just like sometimes a game where I'm just going through a story, and there's less of the emphasis on the action.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As a break. Like, I just really like the story, and it's just, that's what I'm like getting hooked into. So, you know, surprise, surprise. But anyways.
Very good.
I got Inscription. That's the next one.
It's not a bad game. Yeah.
It's been on my wish list for a very long time, and obviously you have recently played and finished it and have been talking about it a lot, and it went on sale on the Switch recently, and I went, let's do it.
Perfect.
So I kicked it off, and yeah, it's really good. You know, the thing that worries me, or has worried me, is the roguelike nature of it, dying and restarting.
Mm-hmm.
I think having... So, like, the first time I died, it didn't feel as impactful because it almost felt like you were meant to,
right,
in a way, like the very first time you die.
Yeah.
The second time I died, I was like, oh, man, it, like, put me back to the beginning. But even then, I've played a little bit more, and I realized, like, death is...
Part of the journey.
Well, it's kind of part of it, right? It's part of that, part of the thing, because things just change.
Yeah.
Through that. I really like... the game within a game. I don't think it's not really spoiling anything.
No.
It's just like the environment that you're in as you're playing this kind of card-based game.
Yeah.
To kind of the mixture of the two and how it's all going. It's very creepy. I love the single character that you're playing against and his changing of characters.
Yeah, he puts like masks on
playing,
and stuff. Yeah.
Whatever he's doing, he's always playing
he's like a dungeon master. Yeah.
It's very cool.
He's pretty
it's very cool. The whole vibe of the game is very neat.
You're playing with headphones on?
I have.
Okay.
Yep, played a mix.
So like anytime he speaks, it's got like this really bassy tone where it's like, burr, burr, burr. Like it's just this.
Yeah.
It's just, oh man, I can't articulate how much I love the sound in that game and how disappointed I was when I spoke of the sounds of, I think it was the, won't say anything too deep here, but the sounds of the second main thing that area. You approach. And when you fight that fella, everything just, oh, the sound is just so amazing. Did I mention on this?
I'm back.
That how much I love the sound for this game?
Yes. I think you did.
And yes, Death is,
I don't
definitely
know. I've heard it many times outside of the podcast too, so it actually all just kind of mixes together.
I'll go out on a limb and say, I don't think you actually have to die very much in this game. But I'll tell you,
that might be true.
But I'll tell you, I couldn't not die. I died so much in this game, man. I died so much.
I guess I'm curious to see, because I like where I died. I was like, I don't even know how I could have won. I thought I got a handle on it. And I thought I was doing really well. And I was like, yeI've got like a really good deck. And
yeah.
Was really. And then I got to that second boss and I beat him the first time. I'm like, great. And then his second phase, his moves, he was just like, boom. And I was like, well, how do I?
Yeah.
But, I have no ability to beat
but
this.
But like every other game you've ever played, it got to the point where it was absolutely trivial to me, no matter what bad deck I built. Because I knew how to do it. And then
right
so you just figure it out,
sure. Yeah. And I think even just having died a couple times, it's clear to me like there are things to learn and things you gain by doing that, like
a little bit.
I don't know, maybe you would get it if you didn't die anyways, but I'm my point is death by dying and replaying like from the beginning, it's not the same.
No.
Like it's different again.
Yeah.
So like things have already changed enough that it's not like I'm replaying the same thing over and over again. Yeah. And he'll concede to you now.
Potentially. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'll concede if you're like totally beating him, he'll just concede. So
yeah.
Anyways.
You might not want to let him concede though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyways,
it's
sounds like you're having a groovy time. I look forward to hearing more and more about your journey of inscription. Yeah. Every amount of progress I would like to hear and just revel in your enjoyment and live vicariously through your ability to play this game for the first time. I'm so envious.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not hyping it up too much, but I don't know that I can. I feel like this game is reviewed through the roof and it's for perfectly good reasons.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's been on my radar since it released. Mm-hmm. And again, like for the few hours that I played already, like I'm into it.
It's also made by one dude.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Anyways, moving on.
Okay. I think I'm into the we've both played these games.
Perfect. Let's talk about it.
So where would you like to start?
So let's start with an idea Adam had. How's that?
I thought about having a
video game book club with Jacob, and which is kind of what this podcast is a little bit been about. You know, Jacob and I on our journey, but I think at times I've found that we don't really maybe play some games, but we're just playing different games, or we just don't play games together, or we got it down the road a little bit with Doom, but then we sort of I just haven't picked it up again for whatever reason. And I think I would like to get back to that at some point. But the idea with a video game book club is like, don't make the tasks too arduous and just maybe do some version of chapters if you can figure out how to chapter up a game and do your section and then, you know, have a discussion about it. So I thought we could maybe bring that discussion here. And if I'd done my homework and my dog ate my homework, which is why I haven't brought it here, I would be talking about it right now, but I haven't finished. So I suggested and Jacob graciously accepted, and I think it's a good trilogy for both of us, because I think this type of game is good for both of us, is the Batman series, which came out, the first one is Batman Arkham Asylum. It came out in 2009, and still looks great, and the voice acting is awesome. And there's Mark Hamill's in there doing the Joker, and like it's really fun. So I think in that sense it's really good. Jacob's moved on a little further. We both started it, but I didn't get all that far. And I think Jacob's made a wise choice. And if anybody knows more than we do, and we've decided down the wrong path, it'd be good to know. I had my kid look up, because I didn't want to find anything out myself, you know, how we could potentially chapter up this game, and it wasn't clear. But I think maybe the bosses are a good way, assuming that they're linear. I would imagine, based on the fact that it's 2009, there's a strong chance that it is. But that's, I don't know.
I think for the amount that I've played, I can tell you right now, it's a linear story.
Okay.
There's you're not given, for the amount that I played, which, you know, granted is not a huge amount. This one is a linear experience, because what I had read was, once you get to Arkham City, which is the second one, that opens it up to a more open world.
Okay.
Where you can now, I that doesn't mean that the, I suspect like all, most open world games, even in that era,
you're still following,
you know, there might be side content. The main story is typically on like
on rails,
rails. Like you're still moving, you know, you don't have choices, right? The choices thing, I mean, I'm sure there were games back then, but a lot of this stuff was generally, you know, there's choice, but generally the main story is on a rails. But from this, the only thing I'll say, like, it is built so you can go back to areas to continue to explore, but that's more for collectibles, I think, than anything, not story related.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, can I hit pause here for just a second and just point out that, because we both are on video, and this right now feels like I am playing Inscription. Like, as I'm talking to you, I feel like I'm playing a game of Inscription where you are the dungeon master.
I don't know how it got all dark all of a sudden.
You are in, you're in like full darkness, and I can just barely see a part of your face. And that,
there we go. All right.
Oh, we're back. Okay. I don't have to feel so creeped out anymore.
I'm not editing that out. So anyways, back to Inscription. Really good soundtrack.
Yeah. jump back. So we're going to try that for...
No, try for the next number of episodes, I hope, right? Like, we'll just go through and maybe, I'll make an effort towards it, and we'll get through. We'll see how far we get. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Sounds good.
What else do we play together?
Do you want to talk about Lightyear Frontier?
Yeah.
I know I've played more.
You've played a ton of it. Yeah, so, you know, so I'm really interested in the more you've heard. So this is a demo that I tried, and it's on Game Pass, so Jacob just played it, but it's a farming game where you also hop into like a little mech that is like your farming tool, and you can go around and like create farms and equipment and things. And it's just kind of a chill, like build what you want kind of game, I feel. Are you finding it to be more than that after the demo?
No, it's super chill. There's no threats. Yeah, the idea is you're on an alien planet with your mech, and it's like this whole program to find places to like kind of live and farm. No, it is really just that. The funny thing is, when we started playing, like, there's a tutorial that kind of tells you what to do, but it was weird because it would like, you'd clear the tutorial and then it was unclear how to continue. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no next thing to do, so you would just kind of build what you could. So the way that it kind of assumes is there's all these regions that you have to clean. And so once you clean a region, it unlocks, and you can then get the resources from there. And usually there's a new resource. So you have to kind of find the resources yourself, though. It doesn't tell you. And then once you find those resources, it unlocks new recipes, and that's your kind of progression point. And then these other regions are locked behind mech upgrades. So like, you can't clean out the weeds in this region until you upgrade your vacuum.
Right.
Attachment on your mech, because they require that. So it kind of prevents you from cleaning up certain ones until you've upgraded your mech and done that progression. And that's kind of the cycle of it.
So it's like a less good satisfactory.
Yeah. Well, it's different. I mean, I wouldn't compare it to.
Well, I mean,
I don't put satisfactory in that category, because Satisfactory is very much
a factory. It's a factory for sure. Yeah. Right. But it very much has that, like, do this thing, unlock the next tier to do this thing, to unlock this tier to do this thing. And not to say other games don't have that mechanic in other ways, right? Of course they do. But
I mean, it's a pretty standard kind of thing of building, and, you know, and the buildings get better and they improve your output, and you get better, you know, houses and better, you know, new cosmetics and things and all that stuff. And so I'd say, like, at the beginning, it kind of wasn't unclear how that progression, at least, I don't know if I missed something, but it wasn't really clear that was the progression, because I just kind of felt like, oh, it was going to trigger me to kind of say, like, okay, well, you know, oh, you need to figure out this thing. Mm-hmm. After you do certain things, there are tutorials or, like, things that kind of pop up and tell you, you know, build a radio tower because you hear a signal. And so there's these little things that happen that kind of trigger you, like, things to do. But I think they're still all kind of based on unlocking the regions, which is the key thing to trigger the next thing. So cleaning out a region, it unlocks, you're congratulated, you get new resources, and they're like, okay, well, now you can do this thing. So if you're not doing that, it's not going to tell you what the next thing is. But
right.
It's an interesting game. It's very, like, low key. Of course, there's no threat, so it's a nice, like, just game to kind of get lost in, just building stuff and growing crops and doing that kind of, you know, thing. The mech is interesting as a concept because it partly feels like, what's the point of either one?
Right.
Because you can leave your mech, and yeah, you can leave your mech so you can find, there's these little, what are they? Artifacts that you can find. And usually you have to leave your mech because they're hidden in a little corner that your mech can't reach. If your mech topples over, you have to leave it and, like, flip it over. But it's a little bit odd in some ways that that's even a mechanic, because everything you do is in the mech.
Right.
You don't do anything otherwise as, like, yourself, because you can't. You can't even carry inventory. You can
maybe
carry,
there,
like,
was a dream there at one point that kind of got a bunch of meetings around, and then they're like, what's the point of this? Okay, well, just keep in the fact that you sleep in a tent, because it's weird if he just sleeps in his mech. Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's, it is an early access game.
Okay.
Right? So maybe there's more there. So it is technically not a finished game. I don't know, you know, early access can mean a lot of things. Is it, like, years away? Is it just a few months away? They're just trying to, you know, pad out some changes to it. But again, it's not a bad game. It's pretty fun. I do get lost in it, and I do find it entertaining to get into. I just find the mech concept to be, or the switching between a person and a mech to be kind of, it's like, I rarely ever leave my mech unless I'm forced to. I'm enjoying building a little farming town. I got a barn now, and I got a house instead of a tent, and it's fun.
Okay, I'm just gonna say that their roadmap is pretty generic. So that
is it?
Yeah. So mini update one is QOL improvements, so quality of life improvements and accessibility improvements, and bug fixes and tweaks.
Okay.
Mega update one is broadening the base game experience with new features of neighborhood friendship system, keeping the animals on your farm, and much more. Mini update two is community requested features, whatever those end up being. And then expanding the world and progressing the story is mega update three or two. What's beyond the dam? More crops and animals and upgrades and new secrets to uncover. It's just, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I see nothing about more human interaction in the world. So stay tuned.
Well, but see, I think I feel like this one would be a good one to, I think it would be a fun one to kind of do together. I would say, like, yeah, I think it would be a little bit better with someone else, only that when you have to progress, you have to go across the map a lot.
Okay.
And it's not fast by any means. So you're going to build a farm. I'm not really clear whether you're meant to build multiple farms. I don't think you would, because you really would need to kind of keep all your items together. So it's easy to build stuff. And maybe I just haven't progressed to traverse the world fast enough. But like, if you had another person kind of helping you on your farm, you could kind of send them out to the different regions. Because of course, the resources you need are across different regions. Right. So you have to traverse a pretty large map. Well, large.
Yeah.
Not super large, but you know what I mean.
Are you telling me you found a game where you can go out and explore and do the things you like doing, and I can just sit at the farm and like press buttons? So that sounds pretty
good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, or you both can go out to separate regions to get the things that you need for,
sure.
You know, because, yeah. You know, you'll want to get coal. Well, that's in this region. But then by the time you collect your coal, you're overcumbered and you can't, it's really slow. So you have to go back to the farm to drop that off. But you do need the copper to go with that. So now you got to go to the other region. So like with multiple people, you can kind of send out the tasks.
Is it two player or four player? Do you know?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It is multiplayer, yeah. But...
You know, the other thing I'm noticing more and more, I picked up, actually, I didn't mention it, is Gran Turismo 7. Did I mention it last time?
Okay.
I think I'd bought it, but maybe I hadn't.
No.
I hadn't loaded it yet. Okay, well, I'll talk about it in a little bit. But the thing I noticed is they have a two-player mode, but it's terrible. So bad. Because I think they just expect that people now have their own console and they just play each other online. And it seems like so many games are just like that. Couch experience is less and less. Obviously not as true in some areas, like Nintendo I think still has some focus there, but I think it's feels like a dying breed.
I've felt that for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the transition away from a couch co-op, because couch co-op used to be kind of the standard of everything.
Yeah.
And I want to relive that. And like, we do have it.
Yeah, we do.
I think Nintendo is the one that brings people together the most.
Yep.
But every other console is like, yeah, you could do that, but you're just going to play online, aren't you?
It's like, no, it's like my kid comes home.
I don't want to do that.
Like, it literally, like, see you later. I'll see you online in a minute, because they can't both play on the computer at one guy's house. So one of them, they literally just go back to their own houses so they can play with each other. And that's like, it's so insane to me.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about me and my sisters just like sitting around the computer and playing
I mean,
whatever.
Also, like even when they were single player games on the computer, I mean, you just took turns.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, even though, like, think about the Sierra, you know, adventure games, we'd be working together just to solve the things, you know, and like each person would.
I
remember playing Police Quest and
what a great experience.
I took
played
over
those
the,
all on my
you know,
own.
Driving. Yeah.
That would
so we always work together
really
to figure
to
those ones
people.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just weep for the youth of this age.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, Lightyear Frontier sounds very good.
Yeah, really good.
I don't know. I thought it was like a little too lackadaisical for me, and not. I mean, it was okay. I'd like to actually see where you've progressed to, though. Maybe you can show me later.
I'll show it to you. Yeah, I'll show it to you. It is an early access game, so I think it's one of those things where like it will improve itself. I mean, I don't know that it's the best example of that. And like, if you were to compare Satisfactory, I like Satisfactory a lot more,
right?
Because, but it's a different game, right? Like, I don't like comparing it only because the farming sim versus the Satisfactory is very much about the factory building, mm-hmm. and you know what you're doing there and efficiency and all that stuff, right? And that's not really what Lightyear Frontier is. That's, you know, so
yeah, fair.
Anyways, I mean it still sucks me in. I still tend to play it and kind of get lost in it for a while, so yeah, something to be said about that. Let's talk about Talisman. This is a game that a friend I had bought probably easily over a year ago on my Switch when it went on sale, because my friend kind of pointed it out and he picked it up and he played a whole bunch of it, like 20 hours of it, and he was loving it. But for whatever reason, we had talked about connecting and playing it together and we just never did. And then a number of weeks back, kind of brought it up again and I was like, oh, let's play it.
Wait, you just put, when you play by yourself, you just play by yourself?
Play against the computer.
But there's like no other characters running around.
Well, the computer characters.
Oh, there are CP. Okay.
Yeah. The AI. Yep. You can play up to however many computer characters will play with you. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So it's a digital board game. Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. It's a digital board game, an adaptation, and it's a kind of fantasy. It's a fantasy board game where, you know, you choose your character. There's a bunch of different characters. They all have their different skills and stats. It's got really simple mechanics, but it's all about kind of traversing the board and having encounters with things, finding objects that increase your strength or your craft, and fighting monsters, and all to get to the middle of the board. It's typically kind of the general or the gist of the kind of end game mechanic. Is it's the base game is basically three rings. So there's an outer track, a middle track, and an inner track, and everybody's trying to get the crown of control, which is in the middle of the game. And to get there, you have to build up your strength and your craft so you can fight bigger and stronger monsters as you progress into the middle. And so it's a competition against everybody. The mechanics are very simple in that, like, when you're fighting monsters, it's very much just like rolling a dice, and you're either higher than the monster, the same, or lower. And so you either win, lose, or draw, and you move on. And you continue. And it's like that kind of...
Got it.
Very, once you kind of understand the few mechanics there are...
I get it
it's
now.
It's not that difficult.
I get it. No, yeah. I'm just joking. I've been playing with Jacob.
Yes. And yeah, we got you involved, and we've been playing an online game together. And I just really dig it.
It's pretty fun.
It's got tons of characters. It's really simple. It's got tons of different ending mechanics. Mm-hmm. So it's got tons of different like ways that you can end the game. When I played it with my friend the first time, he meant to do like a really basic one, but we were thieves instead. And so it was all about collecting money and objects versus just getting to the middle. And so you can kind of have a different ending and a different character that really changes up the game. And there's like expansion, so there's a city expansion. Suddenly you can explore a whole city that gets tacked on to the board. There's a dungeon that you can crawl through that can tacked onto the board. I think there's a couple other ones that get added. So there's lots of ways that you can change up the game each time you play. You can randomize it, and it's a lot of fun. I really get a kick out of playing it.
Yeah, I've been a little surprised at actually how much I've enjoyed digital board games. And I think regular board games are fine too. I feel like the digital board games keep me like on the rail that I'm supposed to be a little better, which is sometimes nice. I find when we play like a tabletop simulator, which is more of a real board game, it kind of relies on me having to actually like remember everything exactly. And yeah, so when it's actually totally digitized, and I think of that bird one that we played for a bit too, that I could go back and play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What's that one called?
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the bird?
Birds.
Perfect. No. Birds.com,
wings.
Folks.
Wings.
Yeah, wings. Close enough. Wings, birds, you know.
Yeah.
Tails.
Birds, wings. Know,
feet.
Tailspin.
So Talisman, good game, board game. I like it. We haven't actually finished even our first game yet, but we've had a few sessions, and look forward to more.
Yeah, the only thing I will say against it is the online play only allows you to have one ongoing online game. So by us creating one, me and my friend lost ours
right.
that we had started,
right.
not realizing, which is unfortunate because you can have multiple games going locally. It's just online games you can't. And
I guess it's a
kind of sucks
limit for them, although you...
It's just a limit. I read about it. They said there's a limitation to the way that they do the online games that prevents them from doing it, but they're considering... figuring out a way to do that. It's disappointing.
Yeah.
I will say this game goes on sale a lot.
It has a lot of expansions, so like just the base, as well.
It has a lot of expansions. I have them all on Switch now. I just, but it goes on for 50% off all the time. So it's an easy one to pick up. on multiple platforms. So yeah.
Yeah, cool.
It's good. There are a couple of versions, I will say, and I think it's the Digital Deluxe version, which is the online version.
That's the one.
But there's basic one that only plays locally. So if you're listening to this and you seem interested, if you want the one that you can play online with, it's the Digital Deluxe version.
Yep.
I think it's called.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, Talisman. Really enjoy that. And then lastly, Satisfactory. Satisfactory is back, baby.
It's back.
And this is a big problem for me.
It's definitely a bigger problem for you. Mostly because I feel like I have slightly more limited time in some ways, other things I'd like to do. But
I mean, I have other things I'd like to do.
I don't think you do.
It draws me in.
Well, so this is the thing, right? The problem with Satisfactory, I find, and if I suspect everybody's familiar, as we've talked about it a bunch, but it's, you know, just a big open playground with a bunch of factory equipment, and you get to build stuff and you get to make it more efficient and build more stuff, and that's the name of the game, and it's a big giant runaround environment where you get to do it. The it's a one more thing game, 100%. It's like, yep. I'm just gonna do that. I'll just do that one thing and then I'll finish it. But the problem is it just keeps going. I'll just build this little factory edition thing here on the side. But then the angle of that thing doesn't work. I'll just fix that too then. And oh my gosh, Jacob.
I've restricted myself to kind of limiting myself to a thing. So like recently I had started something. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to finish this thing. And it did take me like 3 nights. I think 3 sessions or something like that to like get it finished. But I'm like, okay, nope. Until Adam and I meet up again.
Yeah. That's as far as we'll go.
Cause I did the thing that I expected and I will do the next thing later. Cause otherwise I would just be in there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think actually this might be the way that we have a longevity in this game, which is good, especially with the pending 1.0 release coming around the corner. But yeah, I don't have a whole heck of a lot to say, but just to say that it's just nice to have a game to hop into. We have a little save world together and it's good.
Yeah.
If anybody knows how to get the server able to be connected to all the time, that would be lovely.
That reminds me, I'm supposed to try to troubleshoot that. But
how? Honestly.
Yeah.
So strange.
I don't know. And then I'll just make 2 last comments.
Sure.
On this episode of Jacob's Outrun the Bear. 2 more games coming out in Game Pass that have been on my list. Not necessarily because they were Game Pass games, but they just happened to be coming out, which is Botany Manor.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember if it was, I think it was a Switch showcase or direct that I saw this first. But I am looking forward to this. This is coming out soon.
I looked them both up.
And it's, this is like a, exploration, around a manor while like figuring out kind of puzzles through, botany, like plants and things like that. Looks really cool. And then, Harold Halibut is the other one. And this is like a point and click adventure game. It's all, I think it's all claymation.
It is, yeah.
So it's all actual.
This game is ridiculous. Like literally ridiculous. The amount of effort that went into making this thing is bonkers.
Yeah. So it's a handmade narrative game. But like, I'm like watching the video and like, I understand that they made it at a, like it's a clay, but the animation can't be all standard claymation animation. There must be some cute computerized,
You know,
animation, 'cause it's so smooth.
I don't remember. I feel like he built the models and then does animate them with a 3D computer.
Okay, so it's unique stop motion aesthetics.
Yeah, I think they just built them and they did model them in every way, but I do think they get animated through the engine.
Yeah.
Okay, it still has like an incredible look to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous. It's
Harold Halibut. It looks really cool. So that's coming on Game Pass. So I think that's,
I hope it's good. Like, I hope the story's good. Cause if it is, I think I'd be really interested in just checking it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, you said Game Pass?
I did. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Good. Both Botany Manor and Harold Halibut, but they are available on multiple platforms, including Switch.
Right.
Yeah,
very good.
And that's
that's it for you.
And that's all, really all
that's
I
all
had.
You got?
Yeah, that's really all I had.
I see.
Sorry for.
Well, I had. I did finish another game.
Okay.
Which is very exciting. It's. I mean, I say finished. I beat one round of Balatro. Which is I think it was kind of exciting, mostly because it was a bit of a breakthrough in my mind where. So Balatro, I think I talked about it a bit last podcast. It's this card game, poker game-ish kind of game, and just an absolute gem of a game. The mechanics of the game are that you play hands and you play poker hands to score points. And you can play single cards as well, or just pairs, or triple card, or four of a kind, or full house, or flush, straight flush, whatever. The interesting thing is trying to figure out how, and so you have all these hands you play, and then you have these jokers that modify the cards that you have. So they might add, it might be, if you play a two pair, every time you play a two pair, this thing will give you a plus bonus. And then each time you play that kind of hand, it'll add another layer of bonus. So it'll just continue to get stronger and stronger as you play more and more two pair hands.
Right.
So there's some mechanics like that. There's some that are just like, for every heart that you play, you get plus times four points, or whatever. So there's all these like, and then within those cards, there's synergies to say, to sort of take the jokers and make them multiply. But what I've kind of figured out is that the game is really not about the hands you make so much, which are important, but it's more about the jokers and the joker synergies and making sure that they're working for you. And actually, I think when I beat the game, I think I was just playing pairs or single cards because of the way that I'd structured and built it. I wasn't doing that the whole time to just get started and because you make money. The better you do, the more money you make. And then you can buy jokers in the shop between each round and other various mechanics. Anyways, it kind of cracked open this world where I now have a much better understanding of the game. Doesn't mean that I've finished it again. But I do understand the game better, so I think I can do it now.
Right.
And we have a mutual friend who I convinced to pick it up about a week ago. And I think he's the one that pushed me, actually, mostly, because he, within like 3 days, was like, I've only like beat it a couple times or whatever. And I'm like, I'm like, oh, wow, cool. Great for you. I actually haven't done that. And he's like, oh, so sorry. Because I've had it for weeks. Anyways, he's quite good at card games and those types of games. So I would expect that he would jump on the mechanic pretty quickly. But Balatro, really good, and kind of just lives on my Steam Deck, and I pick it up most days and play a little bit of it.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
I thinking of him, I was like, oh, I wonder how many hours he's already put into this.
Did you look it up?
And maybe. That's what I was. I was literally just looking at.
I would love a report on this number.
This is a guy who.
You should also see the number that he has on a couple of other games, which you don't need to talk about here.
10 hours. He's put 10 hours in.
Into Balatro?
So, yeah.
Oh wow! I'm impressed, to say the least.
I mean, I feel like I know when you. Yeah, because I think it was part of that chat.
Yeah, I've got
when you convinced.
I think
him to
I had
it. So it wasn't that long
or
ago
something before I finished it, and he's probably done it multiple times since. So, anyways,
he's already got 7 achievements.
Anyways, incredible game and definitely worth the full price. Again, another single developer, which is just blows me away at how somebody can just make games. I listened to an interview with this guy the other day, and just talking about how much he loved playing Big Two when he was growing up, which I think is a game. I think it's a game from China, maybe specifically Hong Kong, because I remember playing it when I was growing up, and I think it was brought into our area by a bunch of folks coming over during the sort of the things that were going on in the early 90s with Hong Kong. And I think in like Toronto and Vancouver, it was really kind of a big popular thing. And anyways, long story short, he talks about these things. He's Canadian, so I suspect he probably lives in one of these cities. He had such a passion for that time in his life and in playing this kind of game. He took some of those mechanics and built this point-based game out of it. And it's just a really impressive story how he said he's an IT, so he's not a programmer by trade, but he just built these games as a hobby and then just happens to have this crazy runaway hit on his hands that he wasn't really anticipating. And obviously he's added a bunch of polish. That's how the story goes. The dude sold well over 1 million copies within a week or two, and sells it for $18. So you can do the math pretty quickly. It's pretty incredible. So good for him. Mm-hmm. I played iRacing a bunch more. I mentioned at the top of the podcast. I don't really have much to say there. It's fun. I like it. I'm still terrible, but getting back into it and doing my thing. I did buy a brake upgrade kit, so I have much, much firmer brakes. So I didn't know this. But fun fact, race cars have very stiff brakes because your muscle memory is much better at remembering how much pressure to apply than to understand at what position to be in, like on an angle for your foot. So the pressure really makes a big difference when you're trying to get really dial in like 80% brake pressure so that you're not locking up your brakes, but you're applying like maximum stopping force. And you can actually get even further than that without locking up if you're really careful. And I think that's why they say like ABS is not as effective as like really good braking, but I think you kind of have to be in a race car to do the really good braking. So anyways, that's what you know.
Right.
And
I mean, I watched your race. You were pretty good. You were on the grass and you were on the road.
I do find the grass sometimes. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah. Well... You know, so they don't tell you this, but you have to pay a lot of money to race. And if you help them cut the grass with your car, you can maybe cut down a little bit.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I
don't see is it a good way to cut grass, but hey, I don't know a lot about racing.
Yeah, that's fair. So the other thing, I picked up Gran Turismo 7. I've played very little of it, to be honest with you. But what I have done is I've sat and watched my kid play it. And so my... Mm-hmm. My 11-year-old is playing this and absolutely loving it. Like just thinks it's maybe one of the best things ever. And I think it's maybe a little bit because it's kind of like dad's thing with iRacing where, you know, there's, you know, competitive play online against other people and there's an ability to sort of build your car and your stable up of your car. So it's not Forza per se where you're doing like car collecting, but a little bit like that. But it's probably a little more serious of a simulator than some of these other racing games. And it's definitely got a really decent online competitive mode. So he's like getting better licenses and moving up in grades of ranking. And anyways, it's all new to him, but it's really fun to see it because when I was younger, I had Gran Turismo 1 on the PlayStation 1 and I played I'd played so much of that game. I think I took an S2000 really, really far. And it was really fun. So it just, it's very, very similar and reminiscent of that stuff. So it's very nostalgic.
So what, okay, so if you were to compare Gran Turismo 7, I know you haven't played it really, but to, I guess its competitor which is just Forza?
Yeah, I think Forza. I guess
what's the difference?
I think between the two. Yeah, I feel like there was more competition in the past. I don't think that they're kind of in the same league, I suppose, but they're very like Gran Turismo 7 is the clear winner for console racing.
Why is that?
As far as like competitive online play. And actually, I've read a quote, and I didn't look at it, was just a headline. I didn't click into it, but it kind of suggested that one of the head people for the Gran Turismo game basically said, like, if you're not racing online, like, why are you playing a racing game? Like, you're just like racing computers. Like, what's wrong with you? Because when I talk about racing to anybody, I will swear to you, like, the cars aren't real, but the racing is real.
Right.
What's the saying? The cars are fake, but the racing is real, because it's exhilarating racing somebody else and trying to beat them at your craft. And
right.
It's just, yeah, it does not feel the same.
I see.
When you race a computer, there's just nothing really on the line. And I think that's what makes it so exhilarating to do it. And I see it with the Gran Turismo 7 as well. Like, he's able to get into a race. And I remember one particular race, he's like, "Dad, feel my heart." Like, his heart was pounding because he really wanted to do well. And yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. Gotcha. Cool.
So yeah, a whole bunch of racing, Bellagio, a couple hours of Batman, but we'll fix that for next round.
All right.
That's it for me.
Awesome. All right.
And us. Oof. And both of us. Ah, it's a good, I almost broke a sweat.
You had a pretty good, you had a pretty good start of the year. So you had to have maybe a
mulligan,
just like a little bit of a dip.
Yeah.
You know, just a break.
It's fair.
Just a break in the number of demos and games you were trying out. So
yeah, I do. I heard when I was listening to that same podcast from the guy that was Bellagio guy, he was talking about other Next Fest, and I was kind of oblivious to Next Fest in the past, I guess, but he'd had Bellagio because I played it in, I want to say February or late January when they had one earlier the year. Mm-hmm. But he said he also did it in, like, I don't know, November or September or something. And so I'm like, oh, maybe these come around more often. So I'm definitely looking forward to, I like checking out these smaller indie games and finding that gem.
Yeah.
It's all good until Silk Song comes out.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Wrap it up.
Whenever that's going to be. I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Until Silk Song.
Until Silk Song. No, so that was the last episode for the next 3 years, right? All right.
All right.
Till next time. Bye.